This is Radio Superior 1953, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the evening Gather Round show.
Come on in and gather around, campers. Tim Michaels here, lighting the campfire. It's Friday, June 19th, 1953. Lou Martin has the 6 o'clock news and the latest on the Rosenberg's execution. Rapid Reyes in with sports, and we'll have live reports from Bayfield County as they move the historic Barnes Town Hall.
Great. A live report, and I don't have to be part of the debacle. I hope no one I care about is doing it.
There's Engineer Joe.
He has experience handling humiliation.
Colonel Raffley as official guard of the hall.
Excellent.
And Harriet Feurig will be giving the social commentary.
She should know better. I mean, she was at the Bayfield County Fair Pig Stampede and the Washburn Commercial Club, where the farmers tried to tar and feather Jack and Joe.
And, of course, she is a veteran of the Dion Quintuplets live broadcast from the ship launching.
That ended badly.
Well, let's see how the two-way radio hookup is working. Hey, guys and gals, are they moving the building yet?
You wait for that. I said I'll drive. I don't trust that Colonel's lead foot.
Lead foot? Listen, Skinny. I'm the only guy here who has the razor-sharp concentration needed to weave through these crowds. I'm driving.
I don't think you drive, Colonel. You'll put us in a ditch.
Yeah, we'll plow through the crowd. That'll get them really mad.
And that, too, would be plowed. Planned.
Look out! Now watch it! Yikes!
Bayfield County is known to tar and feathering radio people.
Oh, that would be so cool. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Grand Rapids House Furnishing Company, where they have RCA Victor televisions from $250 to $450. Take it away, Big Lou.
The Rosenbergs are set to die tonight at 7 o'clock our time. 9 cities are in a state of siege in East Germany, and a truce may be near in Korea. We begin our world report from the nation's capital.
This is Jack Bell in Washington. The Supreme Court today set aside the stay of execution issued by Justice William O. Douglas to Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. This presumably dooms them to death, barring some last-minute development. Announcement of the decision was made by Chief Justice Fred Vincent shortly after the court met at 10 a.m. The court convened an extraordinary session today to deal specifically with the stay issued by Douglas only the day before. The Rosenbergs had been set to die last night for stealing atomic secrets and passing them to Russia. With the court's action, a plea for President Eisenhower to spare their lives will now go to the White House. Eisenhower turned down an earlier plea for clemency in February. Justice Douglas spoke up strongly in dissent, quoting him, "I know that I'm right on the law," end quote. Justice Felix Frankfurter said in the court that the questions raised by Douglas were complicated and novel. Then Justice Hugo Black announced that he, too, dissented. Douglas, Black, Frankfurter, and Justice Robert Jackson made up the four-man minority which turned down the Rosenberg's appeal last Monday, touching off furious and unprecedented legal maneuvering before the High Court. Douglas issued his stay on the grounds that there was a substantial question whether the Rosenbergs were properly sentenced under the espionage law of 1918. He said the court should pass upon the issue of whether the case should have been brought under the Atomic Secrets Act of 1945. The Atomic Secrets Act bars a death sentence unless A, it is recommended by the jury, and B, there is a showing that the violation was with deliberate intent to injure the United States. The jury made no recommendation in the New York trial of the Rosenbergs. In Washington, this is Jack Bell.
This is Munsan, Korea. Daryl Berrigan reporting. The communists say they have an important subject to discuss when Red and Allied negotiators meet in a few hours in a crisis session that may determine the fate of an armistice. New and bloody mass breaks from Allied stockades today swelled to nearly 26,000, the legion of anti-communist war prisoners liberated in South Korea's bold defiance of the United Nations command. More than 1,800 bolted from 5 prison camps and hospitals today on the heels of those ordered released Wednesday by President Syngman Rhee of the Republic of Korea. Whether the mass releases and breaks for freedom would wreck the 2-year-old armistice talks, now in their 11th hour, remains to be seen. The meeting of the armistice delegation is set for 11 a.m. Saturday. The next move apparently is up to the Reds. Negotiators might approve final truce details, or the Reds may protest Rhee's defiant release of anti-Red Korean prisoners. Meanwhile, Rhee made public a letter he wrote to President Eisenhower Wednesday in which he rejected Eisenhower's offer of economic and military aid and a promise to work out a security pact if South Korea would accept a truce. Rhee pleaded with Eisenhower to find some other answer than what he called a death warrant armistice. He accused the U.S. and the U.N. of backing down on early war objectives of a united, independent, and democratic Korea and the punishment of the aggressor. Official Red Peeping Radio accused Rhee of releasing the prisoners in order to press them into the South Korean army. It added the Americans deliberately connived by taking no measures to prevent the breakout. In Munsan, this is your reporter, Daryl Berrigan.
Hello, this is Max Jordan in Seoul. U.S. Sabre jets destroyed six communist MiGs and damaged three in air battles high over Northwest Korea today. On the ground, communist infantrymen in company strength jabbed viciously at South Korean positions along the central front, probing for weak spots where a major assault might break through. Chinese Reds smacked into several ROK-held positions along the east central front, where 40,000 communists had rolled back Allied lines as much as 2 miles early this week in a pre-armistice drive toward the 38th parallel. Captain Ralph Parr of Apple Valley, California, knocked down his sixth Red jet in 12 days. It was his 28th mission. Fighter bombers continued to pound the battlefront and the Red supply lines in North Korea. Except on the central front, ground action is light today. In Seoul, this is Max Jordan.
This is Berlin. Stan Turner reporting. The Russians today faced a sharp Western demand that the Reds immediately lift their tank and troop blockade around East Berlin. The U.S., Britain, and France also condemned the firing squad execution of a jobless West Berlin truck driver as an act of brutality which will shock the conscience of the world. In a note to East Berlin Soviet-controlled chief Sergei Denkin, the Allies condemned the Russians' irresponsible recourse to military force, which killed at least 16 Berliners and wounded more than 200 in putting down the workers' revolt against Red rule on Wednesday. 200 Soviet tanks and 10,000 Red armored troops, meanwhile, keep their tight blockade of the city's Soviet sector. 8 other cities in the Soviet zone were reported held by Russian armored forces in a state of siege as the protest strikes against the communist regime continues. There is no accurate estimate of how many lives have been lost since the Russians took over complete military control at various rioting points and shoved their hand-picked East German government back on the shelf. At least 7 are reported slain in Magdeburg. Hundreds are wounded. More than 100 East Berliners are in jail. A Communist Party statement blames the riots on, quote, Western provocateurs who tried to incite shooting and in some cases succeeded, unquote. This is the crime laid to Willy Gertling, the West Berliner summarily executed yesterday by the Reds as a riot leader. The Allied note formally denied the charge, branded it an empty pretext, and termed Gertling's arrest and trial a travesty of justice. The Allies demanded immediate reestablishment of free circulation in the city, theoretically under four-power control, though the Russians have long flouted that provision of the Potsdam Agreement. In Berlin, this is Stan Turner.
This is Arthur Brisbane in New York. A verbal duel between Senator Joseph McCarthy and a college professor climaxed today with McCarthy telling the professor his newly awarded government scholarship has been canceled. The heated session came as McCarthy's Senate Investigation Committee opened a probe of possible communist influences in the government scholarship exchange program. Appearing before the committee were Dr. Naftha Lewis, a Brooklyn College classical language professor who recently was awarded a government-paid Fulbright scholarship. McCarthy says that in a closed session, his wife, Helen Lewis, had refused to answer whether she ever was a communist on grounds of possible self-incrimination. He says that this is the same as saying, I am a member of the party. Turning to Lewis, who has been scheduled to study in Italy under the new scholarship, he said, quote, do you think we should send as an ambassador of goodwill a man whose wife refuses to answer whether she's a communist on the ground that she might incriminate herself? End quote. Lewis replied that the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution provides that right, and the Constitution is an organic law of our nation. Nation, quoting, "It strikes me as grotesque that a congressional committee should call into question the use of that privilege," unquote. A professor at Brooklyn College and former instructor at New York and Columbia Universities, Lewis declared he is no communist and never attended a communist meeting. McCarthy, "Has Mrs. Lewis ever attended a communist meeting?" Lewis, "You're asking a question about my wife. I cannot permit this committee to trespass on the privacy of my marriage." Near the close of the questioning, McCarthy announced, "We have just been notified by the State Department that your job in Italy has been canceled, and I think it is a good idea," unquote. In New York, this is Arthur Brisbane.
All giant C-124 Globemasters flying the airlift between Japan and Korea are grounded, pending an investigation of history's greatest air disaster, which killed 125 American servicemen yesterday. Air Force crews work at the grisly task of identifying the bodies of the airmen and Army engineers who perished in the crash of the Globemaster. There were no survivors. Most of the victims were headed back to battle stations in Korea after a brief visit. This in from Cairo. Egypt's military ruler proclaimed their nation a republic, ending the 148-year-old dynasty of former King Farouk and his forebears. Premier Major General Mohammed Naguib is now the country's first president. Naguib will serve as president until the end of the 3-year transitional period. After that, the people will elect a new president in a plebiscite. KUWS Radio News Time at 6:09. Tim Michaels has this message from Grand Rapids Furniture.
Here is why RCA Victor Television is your best buy. RCA Victor has WFTV. That's right. RCA Pioneer Television. You get a RCA factory branch. You get 2 full years to pay. You get it all. And where, you say? Well, it's at Grand Rapids House Furnishing Company in Superior. How about this for a great buy? A 17-inch TV, all the extras, $249.95. A 17-inch TV for $309.95. Or you get a 21-inch television for $379.50. Plus, they give S&H green stamps. That's Grand Rapids House Furnishing Company at Belknap and Ogden, Superior. Lou?
The first lawsuit for the sinking of the ore carrier Henry Steinbrenner off Isle Royal in Lake Superior last month has been filed in federal court. Mr. and Mrs. Edward Morse of Michigan City, Indiana, want $200,000 for the death of their 45-year-old son, Arthur Morse. He was one of 17 who drowned when the Steinbrenner went down in a 75-mile-an-hour gale. The Morrises contend that the ship's owners, Kingman Transit Company of Cleveland, were negligent in allowing the ship to be taken out in rough seas despite a 20-hour notice of stormy weather. Talks between Knutson Brothers Dry Dock Company and the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers and Iron Shipbuilders broke off today with no agreement in sight. Union representative Holder Modine says that negotiations will remain open, but no meeting with Knutson Brothers has been scheduled. The 135 union members, whose contract expires on July the 1st, are asking for a 14-cent hourly increase, improved vacations, and health plan. The management's top offer to date is 8.5-cent boost per hour. Captain Robert Warren of Superior will leave in the fall for his third tour of overseas duty. KUWS newsman Mike Simonson has his inspiring story of duty.
Captain Warden has been at the Rock Island Post since July of 1951 after he returned from the war in Korea. He served 11 months of service in Korea, soldiering in the 38th Infantry Regiment of the 2nd Division, of which he also was a member while in combat during World War II. During his service in Korea, Captain Warden was part of the defense of the Naktong River and the Pusan Perimeter, later crossing the Naktong and spearheading the offensive northward of Seoul in August and September of 1950 before the UN invasion at Incheon. Later, he participated in the stand at Wanju and was one of the survivors of the Hong Song in February 1951, aptly called Massacre Valley by the GIs, when 204 artillerymen were killed. It was the most concentrated loss of American life in the Korean War. It was at the Cheonan when the 2nd Division was attacked by 96,000 Chinese troops. During this attack, the 2nd Division inflicted 46,000 casualties on the Chinese. Captain Worden was sent back to the States on rotation during the Operation Pile Driver Offensive of the Iron Triangle south of Pyongyang in June 1951. That was the last major offensive before the Korean War stalemated, Lou.
Thanks, Mike. The University of Wisconsin Board of Regents raised tuition today. The board increased tuition from $75 to $90 per semester for residents and from $225 to $250 for out-of-state students. The Regents also increased daily rates at the Wisconsin General Hospital to $17 a day. It's getting too expensive to go to the hospital, Tim.
$17 a day at the hospital. Boy, it's way too expensive to get sick these days. Well, thank you, radio newsman extraordinaire, sweet boy, and one heck of a street fighter, Lou Martin. Weather for this Friday, June 19th, 1953. Cloudy tonight, partly cloudy tomorrow with a chance of thunder boomers. Tomorrow's high is 74, but cooler by the lake. Today's high at the Boeing Airport weather station was 72. Time now for the Tune Weavers. Here's Happy Birthday Baby on KUWS.
Happy, happy birthday, baby.
The Tune Weavers and Happy Birthday Baby on KUWS.
We go now live to the Barnes area of Eau Claire Lakes, where the original town hall and post office is being moved down Highway 27. This is considered a monumental effort, and we understand it's being greeted with great interest by locals along the route. Our community editor, Harriet Farrick, is covering this for us, along with some apparently self-appointed marshals of the excursion. Hello, Harriet.
Hey, Mike Rialbo. And you watch the road.
You watch the equipment. This is sensitive stuff, Bub. Any minute we'll be going live here, and we don't want to muck up the works.
I apologize.
Yes, sir. Be careful. You know how easily you bruise.
Goodness.
Can we get any more people into this car? It's like a clown car.
Yes, I certainly hope not.
So, by yes, you mean no?
Yes.
Why are you here anyway, Dracula?
He's Douglas County Museum Assistant Curator, Gerald Stowe. I think the question is, why are you here, Raffy?
Well, first of all, this is Bayfield County, not Douglas County, and I'm here to make sure that this operation is done in an organized, military-type manner without chaos that civilian operations often bring with it.
You see, Master heard about the tar and feathering attempts of Jack and Harriet and Joe 3 years ago in Washburn. Master, like tarring and feathering.
Vivian.
What did you do, Master? When are we going live, Joe?
Don't worry. I got it covered. I'll give you the cue when the proper moment comes.
Nice live shot so far, Lou.
I told you. Radio station to Joe and Harriet. We're on live on the air right now.
You see, my monitoring equipment is what we like to call in the engineering field as jet age. This is the modern stuff. This will get us there. Whenever Lou is ready to go on the air, I simply monitor said broadcast request with these here headphones.
Which aren't plugged in. The plugs are just dangling there, kind of like your tongue is, Skinny.
Whoops. Oh. There. Okay, Harriet. Pretend that we're on live now, just in case. I mean, you never know. Better safe than sorry.
You've got that Connie Francis song?
You mean, who's sorry now? Yep, I got it.
Harriet, we're on the air now. Where are you?
We are live right now, Hare. So go!
Lewis, it is a warm, beautiful, sunny day here in the Eau Claire Lake chain, and it's so exciting! A large truck with a flatbed is hauling the historic Barnes Town Hall with a throng of spectators turning out.
Yeah, and so far the mob, well, the mob is civil. I credit that largely to the country folks' common sense.
Yes, thank you, Colonel Raffaele. The colonel is acting as the parade marshal of cars and trucks transporting this wonderful piece of history down the highway. I must say, the sunshine and smiling people just warm a body's soul. Oh, goodness! Oh, the truck is moving!
Gangway! Gangway, people! Out of the way, out of the way. You don't want to get run over. Gangway.
So much for smiling faces.
The colonel has a certain way with people, and it's usually the wrong way. Hey, Colonel Etiquette, remember the Washburn incident?
Yeah, the Washburn incident of 1950. Ouch! As in pain.
Master, you are injured!
The colonel impaled me with his riding crop.
Sorry there, buddy. I didn't mean to stab you. Say, how come you're not bleeding?
I think it's best that we cut this off for now.
Right. Let's hear from the Ames Brothers and Melody D'Amour on the Evening Gather Round Show.
Take this song to my lover. Shoot, shoot, little bird. Go and find my love. Melody d'amour. Serenade at her window. Shoot, shoot, little bird. Sing my song of love. Oh, tell her I will wait.
I will wait.
If she names a day.
Name the day.
Tell her that I care,
oh, I care
more than I can bear.
I can bear.
For when we are apart, how it hurts my heart. So fly away and say that I hope and pray this lover's melody
will bring her back to me.
Melody d'amour, take this song to my lover. Shoo, shoo, little bird, go and find my love. Melody d'amour, serenade at her window. Shoo, shoo, little bird, tell her of my love. Tell her how I
embrace her soul, more than she could know. For when we are apart, how it hurts my heart. So fly, oh fly away, and say that I hope and pray this lover's melody will bring her back to me. Melody d'amour, serenade at her window, shoot, shoot, little bird.
The Ames Brothers and Melody D'Amour on KUWS. How they doing, Lou?
At this point, they're not talking to each other.
Well, let's go to Plan B. That's none other than Rapid Ray Paulson with the news from the sporting world. Hey, Ray.
Otherwise known as Plan B, King Timothy. Tonight's sports is brought to you by Hams, the beer from the land of sky blue waters. The Superior Blues are aptly named. So far, this losing season is marked by a dozen rainouts in the first 6 weeks. But last night, the Blues saw red as the Fargo-Moorhead Twins took it to our boys 18-1. Frank Gravino and Roger Maris embarrassed the Blues in front of 750 people at Muni Stadium last night by slugging, doubles, and homers. Glenn Bricky started the fiasco while Gideon Applegate finished it, each pitcher taking a pounding, while Blues hitters didn't help things a bit by hitting into four double plays. In big league ball, the St. Louis Cardinals and the Brooklyn Dodgers are doing their best to make sure the 1953 National League pennant goes to those upstart Milwaukee Braves. The Cards took it to the bums again today, helping the Braves go into first place by 3 games. Tonight, right-hander Bob Buell will take the mound for Milwaukee at County Stadium. Sal Magley will hurl for the New York Giants. The Brooklyn Dodgers are leading the All-Star baseball poll. Fans are voting for their favorites this year for the annual Classic July 14th in Cincinnati. So far, they favor Pee Wee Reese at short, Roy Campanella behind the plate, Gil Hodges at first, and Duke Snider in center field. Here's a bulletin. Satchel Paige admits he is the greatest relief pitcher in baseball today. But the ageless wonder still is peeved at St. Louis Browns manager Marty Marion for not giving him a start. Relaxing between games at Yankee Stadium, the Negro League star-turned-major leaguer says, "I don't understand that fella." Paige has appeared in 37 games this season, more than any other pitcher. Satch admits he might be a few years older, yeah, he admitted that, than the 44 years old listed in the American League record book. And here's something big. College football will be on television this fall. General Motors will telecast 11 complete college football games and parts of 8 others. The telecast will be carried on the 81 stations of the National Broadcasting Company from coast to coast. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport. Timothy?
Thank you, Ray. I understand we're going to be giving it another shot from Barnes.
5 people and all that radio equipment in Joe's little car? Who organizes these things?
Organize is not a word used around here for anything.
Well, let's spin a little disc here of wonderful, wonderful. Here's Johnny Mathis on the Evening Gather Round Show.
Sometimes we walk hand in hand by the sea, and we breathe in the cool, salty air. Turn to me with a kiss in your eyes, and my heart feels a thrill beyond compare. Then your lips cling to mine. It's wonderful, wonderful, oh, so wonderful, my love. Sometimes we stand on the top of a hill, and we gaze sat the earth and the sky. I turn to you and you melt in my arms. There we are, darling, only you and I. What a moment to share in wonderful, wonderful. Oh, so wonderful, my love. The world is full of wondrous things, it's true.
Johnny Mathis and Wonderful, Wonderful on KUWS.
Now I believe we will, hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
Go live to Highway 27, where there's a convoy transporting the old Barnstown Hall. Are you there, Harriet?
Yes, Lewis, thank you. With me is Mr. Stanley Barnes, son of George Barnes, founder of the town of Barnes.
You can't talk. Very nervous now. You know, the town hall is where me and the wife and kids live. If something happens...
Nothing to worry about there, Stan. My men are on it.
And you are?
Amy Kangas, Dahlberg Light and Power Company, at your service. See, we're paving the way for this operation. At this juncture, my crew has three trips, making sure this building won't be hitting any of our electrical wires over some of the county roads. Rural Telephone Company is taking care of the telephone line.
So, how can you tell the difference between a telephone line and a cable carrying electrical current?
One will talk you to death, and the other one will shock you to death. Oh, little lineman humor there.
Yeah.
Do you know this guy doesn't bleed?
Yes, I mean, no.
Master is mysterious and complicated. He's not like other men. Yeah, a power I cannot resist.
Very interesting, Vivian. Harriet, it sounds like the convoy, unlike this maniacal live broadcast, is going smoothly.
Goodness, yes. We've just moved past the Victor Nelson home and Messing's resort. We're at a bridge which connects the Upper Eau Claire Lakes chain with Birch Lake. Close to 50 people have been waiting for more than an hour to see if the old town hall could make it across this wrought iron railing bridge.
The railing, the railing, the railing!
There's at least an inch on either side. Relax, Mr. Barnes.
Is the crowd taking best to see if it crashes into Birch Lake?
I'm afraid Joe and the Colonel are keeping some sort of betting board. We're stopping for the time being, Lewis.
Look, Mr. Barnes, why don't you drop a line in the water and fish while we work this out? It's relaxing.
I can't look.
It's best not to look, especially now.
What? Where?
Just kidding. Everything's fine.
We should take a break now while I try to make peace with this crowd, which doesn't seem to appreciate Joe's humor.
Yeah, just a little joke is all.
Joseph!
Say, that group is building a fire.
Perhaps it is to heat up the tar barrel they have.
That's my bet.
Tell them to turn up their radios and we'll spread a little of our own. Here's Dean Martin and that's Amore on the Evening Gather Round Show.
When boy meets girl, here's what they say.
when the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing the tabella. Hearts will play, tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitarandella. When the stars make you drool, just like a pastifazool, that's amore. When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore.
When the world needs to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
That's amore.
Bells will ring,
ding-a-ling-a-ling,
ding-a-ling-a-ling,
and you'll sing vita-bella.
Vita-bella, vita-bella. Hearts will play,
tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitar-bella.
Lucky fella.
Like pasta,
pasta, when you dance down the street with the cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore.
Amore.
That's amore.
Ah, yes, Dean Martin, and that's amore on KUWS.
Before we go back to Barnes, this just in from Washington. Supreme Court Justice Burton denied a plea to give Julius and Ethel Rosenberg another stay of execution. Emanuel Block announced Burton's refusal after he had spent about 30 minutes in Justice Burton's chamber. President Eisenhower also rejected an appeal today to spare the lives of the Atom spies. Sing Sing warden Wilfred Denno announced that the Rosenbergs would be executed tonight at 7 p.m. Central Time. Tim?
Well, how goes the battle in Barnes, Harriet?
Right, right there. Right on Highway 27 and Lake Road, where the old Barnes Town Hall will stay put.
I am never, never, ever going to do this again. Never, ever, ever.
Hey, Dracula. You didn't have much history for this shindig, did you?
Take on Master. Master doesn't do well when the sun is out.
Thank you, Vivian. Yes, the sunlight saps my energy. I do have a thing or two to add, however.
Please do, Mr. Stowe.
Yes, Master, please.
You know, this guy doesn't sweat either. Does he have any fluids?
Yes, in the year 1888, Mr. George S. Barnes came to this area with his wife Martha and daughter Yuseba. He decided to settle on Island Lake and build a small home. The country at that time was largely wilderness, heavily forested, and inhabited by Indian families. A few hardy woodsmen and abundant wildlife. Their nearest neighbors were two Chippewa Indian families, John and Eliza Morrison and the Basquettes, Mrs. Basquette being a sister of Mr. Morrison. They were great friends with the Barnes family. In 1905, George Barnes sold a team of colts and used the money to go to Madison. Quite a journey in those days. He appeared before a legislative committee to create the town of Barnes. It was then a part of Cable and Drummond. By 1909, the town of Barnes could boast of a post office, school, and a shop owned by Mr. Barnes. In it was a saloon,
living quarters, and grocery store for locals, including Indians who only spoke their native Chippewa language.
Grand, Mr. Grand!
Barnes has many lakes which are dotted by resorts. I recall among the pioneer resorts of that time was the Pease Resort, Point of Pines, Rustic Lodge, Ellison Resort, Boulder Lodge, Lakeview Resort, and Lindale Bay Resort. Today, the area is flourishing as tourists look for a place to fish, boat, hike, and relax. I am tired now.
Nestor needs to go back to his box. Bed.
Bed, Vivian.
A happy ending, Lewis.
No angry mob?
No angry mob, Mr. Expect the Worst.
That's because the Colonel had it all under control.
I could have done without that riding crop in my ribs.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
Well, that's it, campers. Tune in same time, same place in your radio dial. The good Lord willing and the mob doesn't change its mind. For Lou Martin, who is still maniacal, or is it mechanical, he's still looking pretty disappointed.
But it always ends in disaster. Always.
I'm Tim Michaels, and step on by anytime.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1953, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Duke Skorich, Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, Danielle Kading, John Munson, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1953 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.
We'd like to acknowledge the people of Barnes, and especially the history of Barnes, written by Virginia Wilkinson in 1976.